Amen. I think you've got a video, right?
You got to hand it in your video.
All right. Go ahead, sir.
Yo vivo muy lejos de la ciudad. Mi hijo estaba muy enfermo, estuve orando y no pude qué hacerlo. Y de repente llegó la avioneta y lo llevaron y lo salvaron a mi hijo.
OEM Aviation flies for pastors, Bible teachers, missionaries,
bringing supplies, doctors, dentists,
and other Christian workers that are working in the central mountains of Mexico.
UIM Aviation flies for a number of native people groups.
To use the airplane as a tool to reach those who have never once heard about Jesus Christ.
Our ministry is important because lives depend on it. Eternal, spiritual lives, and sometimes physical lives as well.
Our ministry is vital to the people we serve in at least two different ways. One, in a physical sense in which we are bringing doctors, supplies, and relief, for example, hurricane relief, into places that desperately need it. But we also bring in spiritual aid in the form of Bible translators and teachers and church planters that are addressing the eternal spiritual needs of the people that we serve.
Mexico has many, many areas that are unreached with the gospel. We fly over village after village after village in the mountains with no gospel witness whatsoever.
Mexico as a whole, it's really interesting. There's so much tradition in Mexico that a lot of people cling to the beliefs of their family that had for generations, but they don't even know why they're doing it, or they don't really practice religion. And it's an amazing time to reach out with the gospel because people are open to it. People see that there is power in the gospel, and it's something that's fresh and new. And it in Mexico as a whole, it's really an amazing time to be able to go further, faster with the gospel.
As we've been involved with our UIM missionaries who have been teaching theological education by extension, it's been exciting to see them duplicate themselves out in the mountain villages by teaching the studies that they have just recently taken and go out using the airplane to these villages and teaching believers in those isolated places who don't necessarily have the opportunity to have Bible teaching and to have courses designed to help them understand the Bible.
The missionaries that are working in the villages are helping with their physical needs, and they are also helping them in areas like translating the Bible into their own heart language so that they can have the Bible in the language that speaks to them the best. And many of them can't read their own language, and so the missionaries are also teaching them how to read their language so that they can have the Bible in their hands and able to read it in a language that speaks to them the best.
One of the things that I really like about being a missionary pilot is being able to go out and be a part of saving lives, literally, in medical evacuations. When you see the joy, the tears, the happiness on the faces of the people, when they know that their loved one is going to get help quickly through the use of the airplane, makes this job worth it.
My most recent medical evacuation was for a gentleman who had fallen in the canyon and broke both bones below the knee. We took him from the mountains to a hospital in town.
The thing of having the availability of a plane is being able to get to places in a safer way. So it's not just about getting there fast, but it's getting there safe. And some roads are pretty narrow, and any activity that's going on those roads, you're not very sure of what your traveling will look like. But having a plane, you get to places in a safer way, very secure, and that means a lot to us also. The accessibility, being able to get up there and come back on the same day, really helps to bring up teams and bring up people and be able to bring Bibles and food and anything we can. So the possibilities are now limitless.
I feel like UIM has done an incredible amount to advance the Lord's kingdom here on earth.
Every day I praise God for the privilege to be involved in the ministry that He has for us. But it's not just us down here doing it. You know, we have many supporters up in the States, that are praying for us, that are donating to these things so that we can continue doing the ministry that the Lord has called us to.
Le agradecemos a todos los que están colaborando por esta avioneta y también los que están apoyando.
And that's what UIM Aviation does. We fly to change lives.
We could real quick pray before we start. I get real nervous when I talk in front of large groups of people. So, yeah, okay. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity to come to Victory. Lord, help us as we're speaking at the ministry opportunity that we have. Help us to have calm nerves and to speak the words that you would have us to speak this morning, not just what we have written. In Jesus' name, amen. So we recognize some of the faces out there, but for those of you who don't know this, my name is Simeon. This is Naomi. We got two little kids that are running around downstairs, Jonathan and Hadassah. Like I said, sorry, I'm not a great speaker. Calm down. If we could, we'd like to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 25 through 31. So I'm going to pull that up. If you have your Bibles with you, you can follow along, and we'll also have it on the screen behind us. Do you mind holding
this for a second? I don't mind holding this for a second. Ooh, dual microphones. Extra powerful. While he's looking this up, I was thinking about Pastor Ken's timeline for me being here. It was 10 years ago that we came. But when we left to move to Arizona, that was just over 7 years. And I thought, oh, we were at Victory the 7 years, a years of completion. And I thought that was kind of cool that God had a perfect time for us to be in Virginia. Okay. That was a side note.
Here we go. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 25 through 31. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord.
One of the things that we want to talk about this morning is how we know that God has called us to serve him. Even though Simeon's not a pastor and I'm not a pastor, but we've been so encouraged by the word that we are all called to serve his kingdom. And we are going to use that with whatever skills we have. So for us, that's aviation and maintenance. But I feel like this verse really demonstrates that God doesn't maybe call the sensible option according to the world. You know, God is using the silly things in the world to bring his kingdom and glory to people. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning.
So a little bit about us. We thought we'd like to share a little bit about our testimonies this morning. Some of you have heard some of our testimonies. I know a while back I got to speak at the men's group and stuff, but I'd like to share a little bit. Each of us separately would like to share a little bit of our testimony. So I grew up in Virginia, about 2 hours north of here in Madison County, Virginia. I became a Christian when I was about 8 years old, but I don't feel that it became very real for me until I was invited to a local youth group, and I'd heard about, become a Christian, go to church. That's what I thought Christianity was, you know, that way you don't go to hell. But through that youth group, it was really impressed on me that there's a lot more to being a Christian than just saying the words, you know. The youth group leaders there told us, they were like, God has a calling for all of us. And, you know, there is, God calls us to obedience in going out and preaching the word to people. So with that kind of a little bit on my brain, I went to Liberty University in the aviation maintenance program. And while I was in there, they had a guest speaker come to our class who was with New Tribes Missions, also known as Ethnos 360 now. And he was talking about the need for helicopter pilots in Papua New Guinea. They had two pilots at the time. One of them had just been in a motorcycle accident and lost the, he was like paralyzed from the waist down. And the other guy was getting ready to retire. And they were talking about how they had just started reaching some of the villages up way up in the mountains with the gospel. But because of personnel, they weren't going to be able to continue that. And I was sitting there in class thinking about that, how somebody had just started to hear the gospel. And because somebody wasn't willing to go through all the work to help get the missionaries there, that these people were going to start to lose that. That's when I felt like I heard God calling to me and saying that I was supposed to do that. I can't sit there and complain about other people not doing something when I'm not willing to do the work myself. And so sitting there in class, I was like, okay, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. And they said that it would take approximately 10 years of training in order to get somebody there. And I was like, 10 years. That's a long time. I can do it in shorter than that. Well, this is year 10. But yeah, ever since then, God has kept us on this track for me. Through that, I worked overseas and came here to Victory, and yeah, then we went to Tucson. And that's a little bit about me. But
yeah, is that how we stop it from making the annoying noise?
Okay.
Okay. All right. So I'm Naomi. I grew up, my dad was a pastor, and I was always really steeped in Jesus and in church and what this looks like. And in middle school, I had, I can't remember what the sermon was about. I don't think it was an evangelism. Like, I don't think that they were making a big call for people to receive the Lord. And then there was an altar call, and I don't remember what the altar call was about. I don't remember any of it. But I remember going to this church and coming up for this altar call and feeling just the presence of the Lord like I had never, ever felt before. And having this moment of understanding, whoa, this is what God has done to heal me from my sin. That there's a real Lord who wants a relationship with me. And I remember after church was done, my sister and our friend were talking about some, you know, normal things that you talk about. And I remember thinking, like, how is anyone talking about anything besides that God has sent his son for us and wants a relationship with us? And I remember thinking that I want to spend my whole life and dedicate my whole life to bringing God to people. And I didn't know what that would look like. I didn't know what that meant specifically, as you're going to discover in the next half an hour. Neither of us are public speakers, but I wanted to see, how can I serve the Lord with everything that I have? And later that year, I read a book called Captive by Gracia Burnham. And again, this is not the point. I think that what we're discovering is that I don't pay attention to the main point of things. But one of the, not the main point of the book, was that her husband was a missionary pilot. And they didn't even really talk about it very much. But I realized for the first time, you can be a missionary and serve the Lord full time with everything that you have and dedicate your life to bringing the gospel to people and not be a preacher. And I really latched onto that aviation piece. And I think that it's because I am not naturally a talented mechanic. I think that God wanted me to go to school for something where I could take no credit or glory from the success of it happening. You can ask Simeon, you can ask Nate. I am the most mediocre mechanic that has ever mediocred. It's not my calling, other than it is God's calling for my life, because he calls us to obedience. And he called me to be obedient. And I have seen so much joy and fulfillment in my life from being obedient to something that didn't really make sense for my life, which I think is a way that God acts a lot. So came here. And so something important for our testimonies is that we both felt this call to serve missionally, individually of each other. So we were both working on this for 4 years before we started dating. And as I'm sure that couples here who are missionaries can attest to, I think that really both people need to be super on board with missions work, or that's going to be a whole mess. Anyway, so let's do our next Bible verse because I'm rambling.
Okay, so if you would like to follow along with us, this scripture is from Exodus chapter 35, verses 30 through chapter 36, verse 1. Then Moses said to the people of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, for work in every skilled craft. And he has inspired him to teach, both him and Eliab, the son of Ishmael, of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with the skill to do every sort of work, done by an engraver or by a designer, or by an embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen, or by a weaver, or by any sort of workman or skilled designer. Bezalel and Eliab and every craftsman in whom the Lord has put skill and intelligence to know how to do any work in the construction of the sanctuary shall work in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded."
We wanted to bring up this verse because it is very impactful to us that God calls tradespeople for his glory. God calls embroiderers to embroider for the kingdom of God. God calls wood carvers to woodcarve for the kingdom of God. God calls haircutters for the kingdom of God. And we are so grateful that God calls pilots for the kingdom of God. And each one of us can be used with our specific calling and gifting for his glory and his kingdom expansion. I have a friend who's she's a nurse, and her specialty is open wounds. Like all the ones that just stay open and are like pussy and gross and oozy. And she has so much joy and fulfillment that she's helping these people and caring for them. And I am so grateful that the Lord gave each of us individual talents, because if God had called me to be an open wound care nurse, I'd throw up a lot. So it's really good that God has made each of us differently and anointed those specific gifts for his kingdom.
So the next scripture we'd like to share with you is back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 through 31. "Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way."
And then the last verse that we have for right now is Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, which I'm sure that all of you know. But it's so important. Sometimes I feel like I don't want to like talk about the verses that everyone talks about because that's too mainstream. But there's a reason that we're all talking about it, because this is the truth of the Lord.
Yep. So Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." One of the things that really impressed this on me, especially in high school when I was first feeling a little bit called to ministry, is that this verse does not say, if you want to. It doesn't say just for the ages of people 35 to 40. You know, this is a command to all Christ followers. This is a command to all of us. And he doesn't say, you know, oh, just pastors, they're the ones that are supposed to minister to people. Everybody else is just supposed to get a free ride. He says, go. You know, it's not a suggestion. It's not if you want to. It's a call of obedience. So we're called, and you all are called too. We're called to serve the body of Christ. Naomi and I, we may not be pastors, and great public speakers or anything, but we are Christ followers. And by being Christ followers, we're called to give our whole lives to ministry. And I know that looks different for everybody, but for us, that looks like us going to Mexico. So in Exodus, God called skilled workers, right? He called all different types of skilled workers. For us, our skills are in aviation. Me as a pilot and a mechanic, and Naomi as a mechanic and a mom. So when we were looking at missions groups, we wanted to find a missions group where we could use our skills to help further the gospel. And so UIM Aviation, that's United Indian Mission Aviation, they help us to use our skills in an impactful way to bring the gospel to remote indigenous people in Mexico.
Yeah. And something that is a part of Simeon's testimony is that he felt impressed in his heart that he specifically wanted to go and reach people who other people weren't reaching, that people weren't willing to reach. And the people up in these mountains, the Mexican government doesn't have a census of how many people are there because they can't be bothered to go out and count them. They estimate 10% of their population lives up in these mountains, but they don't know. No one is going to these people. Before we moved to Tucson, I thought everyone in Mexico spoke Spanish and was Catholic and knew what was going on, but that is not the case. There are people in these mountains who have never heard of Jesucristo. Anyway, so in March, we were officially made missionaries with United Indian Mission Aviation, which is the fulfillment of all of our work. We're missionaries. We're not there yet, but we're missionaries. That's so wild. So there's many tribal people in the mountains of Mexico. Despite being in the heart of Mexico, most of them do not speak Spanish. A lot of times, one or two men in a village will speak a really kind of rough Spanish just so that they can communicate with any outsiders that wander through or if they have to go to a village or a town or something. Mm-hmm. But in 2010, they estimated that there were just under 300 languages and dialects in Mexico alone. Wow. Mm-hmm. I know, right?
Kind of blew our minds.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and this is from 2010, so it's a little dated, but in 2010, they counted, and of those almost 300, it's like 293, you know, whatever.
297, something.
You know, it's real close. Of almost 300 languages, anybody want to guess how many had completed Bibles in their language? Anybody? No one wants to guess. Okay. 11. Now, we know that it's more than 11 now because in the past 5 years, UIM helped deliver a completed Bible to the Cora people. So there's at least 12 now, but you can see we're still really
far. There's a
lot
of work to be done.
Yeah, there's a lot of work to be done to bring God's word to people. And it is so powerful for people to hear the Bible in their language. We shared with some kids recently, and I decided that it would be funny to, instead of reading the Bible verse in English, I read it in Spanish. And I asked, and the kids were very confused. I asked them, I was like, okay, so how would you feel if every time somebody read the Bible to you, it didn't make any sense? And they came up with some great answers. They said that would be frustrating, and I would feel disappointed, and I would feel sad, and I would feel left out. So we want to bring the Bible to people. So we're flying Bible translators. That's one of four things that we're doing. So the first thing is Bible translators. But Bible translators, you fly them, they get out to the village, and then they're really kind of set for 2 to 3 months unless they have some kind of emergency. They'll come out in 2 or 3 months and get some supplies. But so we want to use our time well. We don't want to just have one flight every 2 or 3 more months. So what else are we going to do?
So one of the things that I'm very excited about, in the Great Commission it says to make disciples that make disciples, correct? So one of the things that we support is local pastors.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of people that have come to Christ through missionaries coming to speak with them. And they have been discipled and brought up and become pastors and opened their own church. Well, now those people want to send their own missionaries further into Mexico. We got to go down to Tepic, one of the further south bases that we serve. And while we were there, we got to meet with one of the local pastors there. And one of the first things he asked the missionary pilot that we were staying with was, if we can, there's an old airstrip, sort of kind of strip, that used to be used, and it's been overgrown and everything, and it's unusable. But he said, if we can get that usable again, can you take us further? Mm-hmm. And the missionary pilot was like, absolutely, show us what it looks like. We'll get people there. We'll clear it out. And the local pastor was like, yeah, we found more people that are eager to hear the gospel if we can just get there. That was powerful to me, to hear that there are people being discipled that want to go and reach their own people for Christ. Many of the local pastors that we reach, you know, they'll open a church somewhere, right? Well, they don't just open a church and then move on. They go back and they disciple those people over and over, and they check up on them so that that church will not fall apart later on. You know, many churches today, they're not being discipled, and so they eventually fall away. These people are so eager. I don't know if you saw in the video, but the one guy said that people are learning, you know, they're taking Bible classes, and then they go right back to the village, and they teach those Bible classes back to their own people. So the second group of people that we minister to are local pastors that are doing their own mission work in Mexico.
Okay, so we're going to talk for a second about some of the need for aviation. We got this handy-dandy slide here. Yes. So United Indian Mission, their mission is to reach indigenous people with the gospel. So they're doing that all throughout North America. That's their vision. So they're in the U.S. and they're in Canada and they're in Alaska. But we're always talking about aviation in the context of Mexico. And that's because these are what the roads look like in Mexico. So they don't need aviation in the United States. Everything's very accessible here. But we are going to tribes who live in the Sierra Madre Mountains and in the Copper Canyon. And the terrain is real bonkers Looney Tunes. And when the monsoons come, all the roads get washed away. So the government has made no effort to get roads or byways back up into these to get to these people. So these are some of the roads. One of our missionaries was going up to do some runway maintenance, and they drove over this. And then they flew by later, and they were kind of thought it was funny. But if you see where this red arrow is,
side there.
Yeah, that is a van that has just fallen off the road, and it lives there now. There's no way to get it back. So the third thing that we do, oh, you want to say something?
Oh, there's been times, you know, some of these switchbacks are pretty tight. Mm-hmm. So one of the missionaries was telling us about they would stick boards out and overlay them around the corners so that some trucks could get around and stuff. It's very somewhat dangerous to go up on these roads. So when they say, you know, it's not just how fast we can get people there, it's also how safe we can get people there. This is what they're talking about. Mm-hmm.
So the third thing that we do, we've got Bible translators, we've got local pastors. We're really excited about local pastors. But the third thing that we do is medical evacuation flights. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that you can imagine if you had a medical crisis and you have to drive down these roads to get to the hospital, that could be really challenging, especially because a lot of the people, I think, I've heard one story where it was only a six-hour drive to a hospital, but that's the shortest I've heard. Every other story I've heard, it's 8 to 12 hours to get to the hospital, and a lot of times people have to hike for a long time to even get to the road.
Yeah, there was one lady that she hiked 4 hours mm-hmm. with her kids, and then they took the airplane. But they took an airplane. Mm-hmm. It was a 20-minute flight, but it would have been a 12-hour drive for her after her 4-hour hike.
Two kids that she was trying to bring to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so here are some of our medical flights. We fly Cessna 206s and Carbon Cubs, and they've done a lot of modifications so that they can fit lots of people, lots of cargo. The Carbon Cub, they've pulled it a kind of apart so you can put a stretcher going down in the tail. Mm-hmm. If you go to the next slide, this is Hospital Mission Tarahumara, and this is near our base in Napuchis, so right down the hill from it. So this is reaching the Tarahumara people, and I was going to talk about them for mm-hmm. a second.
Yeah, go for it.
So we are currently working with 9 different tribes. The Tarahumara live in this, up in the Copper Canyon, and they are very animistic. They have they're very in touch with the spirit world. But what they believe is that every single spirit is out to get them and punishing. They're very conscious of their sin and guilt. And everything surrounding the spirit world to their minds is just negative and oppressive, to the point where Simeon likes to talk about they believe that rainbows steal children. It is just a dark spiritual environment. So when we're able to do these medical flights, what we're bringing them is a testimony of a God who loves them so much that he's not only going to come and physically save them, but he's also going to come and spiritually save them. And they have not had this concept of a spirit who is gracious and loving and kind. And this is just a radical testimony to them. One of the pastors in the video was talking about how excited people are to hear the gospel. And it's because it's a message that they've nothing to compare it to. They're so aware of the evil spirits in the world. And so to be able to bring them the good news of an all-powerful God who loves them and is greater than all of the spirits that they are interacting with is so powerful. So our next verse is Ephesians 6:12.
For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places.
Even though all the work that we're doing is very physical, very tangible, bringing pilots, doing medical flights, bringing supplies, even though that's all very physical, the war that we're fighting is a spiritual war. Mm-hmm. And UIM is trying to keep that focus where every flight that we do is a ministry flight, and it's to the purpose of bringing the gospel to people.
Yeah, you got to see the mission hospital and stuff. Mm-hmm. Every time people come in there, they're hearing the gospel. They're hearing, they're getting spoken to every time they go there. When we do dental clinics and eye clinics and things where we go out to the villages to do those, while people are waiting and after they've had their surgery or help or everything, people are speaking to them about the gospel the whole time. So it's a way that they can see somebody coming way out of their way to help them and then also hearing the good news the whole time.
The last dental clinic that they just finished up a couple weeks ago, they had over 100 people come from the surrounding villages to get their teeth worked on because the news spreads. They kind of pass it on. So people come to these dental clinics, and it was a couple days. And every night after they were done all their dentaling, they had a worship service and a time of praising the Lord together because that's why we're doing everything that we're doing.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what our specific roles are going to be. So as you can imagine, I'll be a pilot and a mechanic. Flying and supporting the local pastors and missionaries, translators, medical clinics, anything that's needed. One of the other things that we like to talk about sometimes, we don't always just like fly a doctor out somewhere, drop them off and leave. You know, we stay there and help out with whatever that is. And one of the pilots, he said, you know, I came here to be a missionary pilot, but I've pulled more teeth than I may have flown. They had a dental clinic that was huge.
I think it was the first one, and they did not anticipate what was going to happen.
Yeah, they didn't realize how many people were coming. They were thinking about 30 people, and it ended up being like 120-some people that showed up. And they were like, oh, yeah, there's more people in this village and that village that are just waiting for you to come pick them up and bring them here. And so he did that, and the doctor was like, yeah, there's no way I can do all of this. And so he was like, I'm going to show you how to pull teeth real quick, and I'll point them out to you, and you pull them. And, so... we're not just there just to fly. We're there to support with whatever they need. Mm-hmm. You know, in some cases for translators, it might be just bringing them food, you know, things like that that they just can't get or something like that. You know, we do more than just, we're not just a taxi service. We helped out with a lot of stuff too.
We're excited that UIM allows us to do that. Some organizations are very particular that, you know, your job is a pilot, you do piloting, and nothing else. Or your job is a mechanic, you do mechanicking and nothing else. And so we're really excited that we are joining a mission that is so sensitive to God's spirit that they understand that, you know, we're going to serve him the best way that we can and however the spirit calls us to serve him. And if that looks like him being a pilot one day and a mechanic the next day and a dental hygienist the next day, then, you know, we're going to praise the Lord and serve how we can.
Yeah, so that'll be a little bit about what I'm doing. Naomi will be supporting me as a wife and a mother to our kids. As the kids get a little bit older, then she'll be able to come out and help me in the shop. Some right now they're a little young to be in the shop, but as they're growing up and everything, Naomi will be able to spend some time working on working in the shop with me. Also, a lot of the places, some missions groups, you live on a compound. We don't live on a compound. We live with the people that are there. So Naomi will have a good opportunity too, while I'm doing flying, to get to know the people in the local area, spend and minister to the women in the area and the children. Mm-hmm. So that's also a part that we're very excited about, that we get to be among the people.
If you see this picture here of this lady down in the left-hand corner, she was the pastor's wife at one of the Weechel visit. Yeah, that one right there. What was I pointing at?
You said the left.
Oh, well, my left.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she's the pastor's wife of one of the Weechel pastors. And when we went out to meet with them, the whole time she was there working on her embroidery. And they have a really specific kind of embroidery that they do. And I want to learn how to embroider the way that they embroider. So that's something that I'm excited about. And I think about that Bible verse where it specifically says that God called and anointed the embroiderers for his kingdom. I get excited about that. So, yeah, we have a map, I think.
I think it might be the next picture.
Ah, perfect. There we go.
So we have three bases in Mexico and one base here in the States. The base that's at the top there, that's in Tucson, Arizona, that's our maintenance base. So the reason why we have a maintenance base in the States is because we can keep the airplanes U.S. registered. That helps a lot with parts, registering things, maintenance just in general. Lots of repairs and things can all happen in the States. There's a lot of corruption in Mexico, if you haven't heard yet. And so a lot of the things that we would need to keep the airplanes going would be unavailable in Mexico, or very difficult to get, or very expensive. So by every 100 hours of flying, there's an inspection to do. And so we bring it back to the States. We can fix all of that thing, all the things that are wrong, and send it right back to Mexico. They have five airplanes, that five 206s that they use. And a 182 that they rotate through.
And we use the two carbon cubs from the hospital.
For the hospital. Mm-hmm. So the other bases that we have, the one that's just below the big star there, that's in Chihuahua. So there's two families in Chihuahua that support that base. So they're in Chihuahua City, and then they fly out from the city. And then the next one down, kind of in the mountains right there, is Napuchis. And then the bottom one there is in Topeka. In the state of Nayarit. The one that we went to was Topeka, just to visit, and our hope is that one has two families right now. The one in Napuchis, the kind of middle one there, right now it's one guy, one pilot. He has three airplanes. He supports a hospital with two of the airplanes and the Bible translators and local pastors with one of the other airplanes. But I don't know if you know this, but pilots cannot split themselves into three people. So... He has one mechanic that's there to help him, but basically he's very shorthanded. He is the busiest of all the bases, and so our hope is to be able to get to go help him out. He's been doing this pretty close to by himself for several years now. His in-law's family is not doing well health-wise, and so he's been kind of there holding things together. If he gets sick or anything, they have to pull somebody from another base to fulfill his spot for a bit. This summer, we've been watching God provide for us very quickly in a lot of ways, and we really feel that because of the urgent need that he has right now, that God is trying to speed us along to help us get there.
Usually it takes, I think Simeon says 2.5 years, maybe, is the average to support Ray's to be on the mission field full-time. We are a month and a week into him having quit his job and us doing this full-time. And we have the incredible testimony that we're at 50%.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. God has been moving very quickly for us. So continue praying for us.
But the reason that we think that is because we feel like there's a very urgent need for us to get there. And we can't go any faster than a year because our next step.
Our next step is language school after we get our financial and prayer support together. language school is a year, so two semesters that we're going to go to. We're going to learn Spanish because it's kind of the trade language in the area. Many of the translators are the ones going to be learning the local languages. That will be in Texas, Edinburg, Texas. It's way down near the bottom of Texas. It's not really on this.
It's not marked, but it's right there. There's no star.
Yeah, there's no star. But anyway, so we said right there and pointed to a whole map.
Right there.
Excuse me. So the language school that we're going to be going to is a Bible seminary for Spanish speakers. One of their outreaches that they do is to teach English speakers Spanish. So it'll be a fully missionaries, English-speaking missionaries, Spanish. So it will be fully immersive. And one of the things that we've brought up to people before, we could do Duolingo or something like that, but that will teach us conversational Spanish and how to order tacos and things like that.
And I can already order tacos.
Yeah.
You know, we got it.
I mean, you just say whatever the number 10 is and that many tacos, you know? But it wouldn't be teaching us how to preach the gospel mm-hmm. to somebody and how to share Christ with somebody. So we're going to go to a seminary, a Spanish-speaking seminary, in order to learn that more specific towards the needs that we have.
Yeah.
So like we were saying, we need prayer and financial support. Prayer support, as you all know specifically, prayer is very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
If you've even just heard the testimony of how this building and church is here, you'll understand how powerful prayer is. If we had another hour and a half, 2 hours, we would explain how we are here and how prayer has helped us to get here. So we need you all's prayer mm-hmm. to help us to raise the support, to get us through to get us to Mexico, and to make us effective in Mexico. Without prayer, none of that will happen. We need the financial support so that we can live while we're down there. We're looking for monthly supporters to help us to do that.
We have prayer cards.
Yeah, prayer cards.
So we have handy-dandy little cards, and you can put them on your fridge. These cards do not pray for you, even though they are prayer cards. But what they do is they help remind you to pray. So if you see them, then you can think of us and pray. We know one guy who is very enthusiastic about praying for missionaries, and he laminates these and puts them on suction cups and prays in his shower. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd recommend that. I feel like that's weird.
But we don't discourage it.
So we have these on the back table. If you want, you could take one and think of praying for us. Or if you know, like, that one little old lady, you know the one I'm talking about, the one that prays a lot, take one of these and give it to her and say that she can pray for us. We also have a sign-up sheet for emails back there. I think a lot of you have actually been getting the emails that I've been sending for the past 2 years. But if you haven't been getting my emails, I send them and I put lots of praise reports and prayer requests on the bottom so that you can know specifically how you can be praying for us and what we're doing. So those are two things we can do right now. And my screen went dark, so there's no way to know what to say next.
Oh. Well, so we're kind of coming to a close on this right now, but do you mind flipping to Isaiah for me?
I do.
So one of the things that we would really like to impress on you all and to get across here, as you've seen us kind of stumble a little bit through our talk and not be super professional about it, we're all called to do ministry. It's not just us. Yes, we're called to Mexico, and we hope that you all will respond as Isaiah does in Isaiah 6:8. Would you like to read that one?
Sure. Got it on a handy-dandy slide. This is my life verse. So in Isaiah 6:8 it says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And then I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'"
So like I said, we're not the only ones that are called. You are called too. And we pray that you all would be listening and open to what God's calling you to do. You know, maybe it's to Cambodia, maybe it's to Cameroon, maybe it's to someplace in Europe or Africa.
Bedford.
Maybe it's to Bedford. You know, you all are in a college town right now, and there's tons of students, even though it's a Christian university, that there's a lot of non-Christians that go to that university. There's tons of people for you all in your own community to be reaching out to, but also be willing to hear God calling you to where you never would have dreamed. When I came here to church, you all know the Edmonds. This is Edmond. And every Sunday after church, I would go over to that map over there in the corner, because I didn't know where God was calling us to yet. I would go to that map after church every Sunday and just be thinking about, where is God calling me to go to? And Mrs. Edwin would come over and pray with me some Sundays and just be praying for wherever that looks like it would be. I would encourage you guys to do that too. You don't have to use a map, but just be praying for where God's calling you to be. You don't have to be a teenager or a college student. You don't have to be however old Mr. Jim is, like 55, I'm pretty sure. But God calls us at all stages of life, not just, you know, we've heard some people that are like, oh, I'm glad you guys are going, I'm past that stage. No, you're not. You're not that past that stage at all. There's a man that goes to our church in Tucson, and he goes on mission trips all the time. And
they do disaster relief.
Mm-hmm, they work with Samaritan's Purse here and there. And he was like, there's no excuse. God can call you at any stage, even if it's just to pray for people, which we say just to pray for people. That's not just anything. That's very powerful. So please, just be prayerfully thinking about how you can serve the Lord fully with who you are, and how will you respond to his call. And if we could, we'd like to pray before we go. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to speak to fellow Christ believers about the calling that we have on our lives. Lord, I'd ask that you would be pressing in on these people's lives and helping them to hear you and your voice of where you're calling them to be and the ministry that you're calling them to. Lord, thank you for the opportunity. Please bless this community and this church and help them as they go. We remember the sign downstairs in the basement that says, as soon as you walk out the door, you're entering the mission field, and wherever that is. Lord, please bless the people here and help us as we're going through this week. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you all for letting us come share.